Turning to the book of Titus, as we conclude the book of Titus tonight, reading starting at verse 12 of chapter 3 and reading to verse 15. You know, it's a letter, and at the conclusion of a letter, sometimes people say, respectfully yours or sincerely. Sometimes we brush past those words. But we've learned that the introduction to Paul's letters is often packed with theological content. And this is the Word of God, and there's something that we can learn in each of these verses. There are profound truths here as we close the book of Titus tonight. This is the Word of God. Listen carefully, starting at verse 12. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me, salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. The precious word of the living and the true God. Tonight we're finishing our study in the letter that Paul wrote to Titus, and we come to the last verses of this letter, and you might think, what can we learn here? And the answer is a surprising amount. Basically, we're learning about shared labor and hospitality. But there's more than that. You see, we find in these final verses that Paul has a vision beyond Titus. It might seem strange that Titus, whose name is on this letter, is going to leave. But already there's provision being made for someone to replace Titus. Paul is calling upon Titus to go to Nicopolis and to meet him there. He's determined to be there in the winter, and he wants Titus to join him. But the people of God are not to be without a leader, specifically someone who will preach the gospel to them. So Paul has two men in mind. Artemis, we don't know much about. Tychicus, we know a lot more about because his name appears in the other parts of the New Testament. Tychicus is known as a faithful minister in the Lord, according to Ephesians 6. He also is alluded to in Colossians 4, Titus 3:12, which we just read, 2 Timothy 4:12, as being with Paul in Rome, and then he was sent to Ephesus for the purpose of building up and encouraging the church. This man probably carried the letters of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon to their destination. But he did more than just deliver these letters. Listen to what Paul writes about Tychicus in two of his most famous letters. Ephesians 6, verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. And then in Colossians 4, the Apostle Paul writes this, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. And here's the point. Titus is not indispensable in the Church of Jesus Christ. But Titus leaving will not happen until he's replaced. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is continuing to build his church. He's continuing to build his church through faithful ministry. And though we don't know as much about Artemis, we see him put side by side with Tychicus. It is one of those who will replace Titus when he leaves. There are future plans for Titus. He needs to go to be with the Apostle Paul in the winter time, and he's eventually going to show up in another place, as we learned from 2 Timothy. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is providing the ministry that the church needs. It's important that we recognize that. Sometimes we go without someone in an office, like an elder or someone to bring the Word of God for a period of time, someone, you know, regular, and we begin to forget that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's building His church. And when Titus is set aside at the end of the letter that's got his name on it, we're forced to remember this fact, that the preaching of the gospel, the ministry of the gospel, is something that is superintended by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's bigger than any one person. It's bigger than the Apostle Paul. It's bigger than Titus. And so Tychicus and Artemis are those who are able to continue to serve the people of God there on the island of Crete when Titus goes to Nicopolis. Nicopolis is this place that represented the victory of Caesar Augustus, and so he established this place, Nicopolis, and it was close to some of the places that the Apostle Paul wanted to go to. It was actually on the way to Spain, and it's close to a place where Titus will eventually show up, as we find out in 2 Timothy. So the Apostle Paul has determined that that's a place where they should meet up. He's written to Titus, he's urged Titus, but Titus is not going to be in Crete forever. There are other men who are beginning to be raised up to serve on that particular setting. And then the Apostle Paul mentions Zenas the lawyer and Apollos. And we don't know much about Zenas the lawyer. People argue about whether he was a lawyer in the sense of being a Jewish scribe, one who knew the law of Moses, or one who dealt with court cases, perhaps helping the Apostle Paul. All we know is he's Zenas the lawyer. But the Apostle Paul wants him to be brought along on his journey, along with Apollos, whose name is famous. Apollos was known as someone who was able to preach the gospel in a very clear and profound way. He's referred to in Acts 18. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, who came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. The Lord had already used Apollos in a mighty way, even though at the beginning he only knew the baptism of John. He had to learn more about the history of redemption. And so the Holy Spirit had already begun to form in Apollos that kind of pulpit presence that enabled some of the Corinthians to say, I follow Apollos, the party spirit. The Corinthians needed to be reminded that the gospel is bigger than one man. They needed to be reminded that the ministry of the gospel is bigger than one man, bigger than Paul, bigger than Apollos. It is superintended by the Lord Jesus Christ. And even those who said, I'm of Christ, were dividing themselves from the others. No, everybody who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ is one body. And we are connected by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Zenas and Apollos were probably people who brought this particular letter. Titus is being told that he should bring them on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. They have needs. Those who minister the gospel, those who bring the letters that were written by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, they have needs. They have particular needs, and the people of God are in place to provide for them. That's what verse 14 is about. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. Ours. He's talking about the people of God, those who belong to the house of faith, those who are ours, to maintain good works for necessary uses. An important principle for us to remember. Good works are defined by the living God. There's a sermon by Charles Spurgeon that points this out. Good works are defined by the living God. And the motive has to be the motive that is only the only proper motive for doing good works, God's glory. And then finally, we are to express our faith in our good works. In other words, Christians are to do what is good in God's sight. We cannot let the world define what good works look like. And that's quite important, because you have a lot of people who would unite about the idea of doing good, if it's generally expressed. But the book of Titus has specifically outlined good works. It's mentioned to us 6 times in the book of Titus. It's mentioned to us another 3 times in 1 Timothy. Good works are mentioned another time in 2 Timothy. So again and again and again in the pastoral epistles, there's this call to do good works. But we need to understand what they are. And that's why we need the book of Titus. That's why we need 1 and 2 Timothy, to help us to understand how the grace of God teaches us to do those things which are good. And the Apostle Paul narrows it here. Maintain good works for necessary uses. There are particular things that someone who is traveling like Apollos or Zenos needs. Things that are to be provided for them. And people here at Knox, you know that you have hosted people who have served in other lands, who have served in other places, who are part of the broader ministry of the gospel. You have hosted them. And that is the kind of work that verse 14 is talking about. Maintaining good works for necessary uses. Those works that are pleasing to God. Those works that are used to build up the church of Jesus Christ. In other words, the gospel is not just about those who bring the word of God to you. Not just those who are going to foreign lands to preach Christ to others. It's also enabling the people of God to be hospitable to them in a way that demonstrates that they understand what is necessary for the work to continue. And the gospel is far bigger than just simply these names that we have here. It involves you. You have the opportunity to learn about how God defines good works, what is necessary for the people of God to have the ministry of the gospel, to have the ongoing worship that's needed in the Church of Jesus Christ. I told you before, this bottle that appears up here, not by magic, but by the hand of a particular person, is very useful to the preaching of the gospel. If you can't hear what's being said because the person up front does not have enough water, it's a very difficult thing to really focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Apostle Paul goes on, and he speaks of connectedness in the Church of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. All that are with me salute thee. All that are with me salute thee. We learn a whole lot if we just think about what that's saying. The Apostle Paul is talking about the united greeting of Titus and those at Crete by all that are with him. The unity of the Church of Jesus Christ is expressed here. One group of Christians saluting another group of Christians. All that are with me salute thee. And then he passes it the other way. Greet them that love us in the faith. How is it that people love the Lord, the Apostle Paul? He says in the faith. He's talking about people who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Titus is to greet those that love the Apostle Paul because they love Jesus Christ. And Titus is to know who they are. Titus has already been given many exhortations in this letter. Exhortations that involve older people, younger people, men and women in the Church of Jesus Christ. But he is to greet them, those that love the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that love the Apostle Paul himself because of their love for Jesus Christ. You see, the unity that we have in the Church of Jesus Christ is on the basis of our relationship to Jesus Christ. And so we're learning about the connectedness of the body of Christ here. All that are with me, salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. And then the overarching principle that we've seen again and again in the book of Titus, the principle that undergirds it all, the principle that motivates good works, the principle that enables you to be saved, the principle that caused the Father to send his Son to provide unmerited favor for people in this fallen world who did not deserve to be in fellowship with him. God's grace. It's a declaration of God's grace, and we hear it in our worship service. We hear this declaration of God's grace at the beginning of the worship service. We hear this basis on which we gather declared to us. But take it in. It's a very important and significant principle. Grace be with you all. God's unmerited favor. It's quite important that we meditate upon the grace of God that's just been expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, at the end of the day, it all comes back to Jesus Christ. You're not surprised, are you? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who enabled Artemis and Tychicus to be raised up to be able to replace Titus. When Titus is able to go and help the Apostle Paul, and they're able to do ministry elsewhere. Zenas, the lawyer, is involved in the Apostle Paul's ministry. He's valuable, and so he desires them to not have anything that they need so that they might continue to serve. Apollos is recognized by the Apostle Paul, even though some see him in competition because of the presence of Jesus Christ. It changes the attitude of the Apostle Paul toward Apollos because he's a minister of Christ. This is the same Apostle Paul who was in prison, who was talking about people who desired to cause trouble for him while he was in chains by preaching Christ. And he said, that doesn't matter to me. They're preaching Christ. That's what matters. I'm going to rejoice in that. And the Apostle Paul was boldly proclaiming Christ to Caesar's household. He rejoiced to know any time when the gospel of Jesus Christ was being communicated clearly. The grace of God that brings salvation has come about through Jesus Christ. There are many people who talk about good works today. There are many people who would unite with you on the idea that we need to do good works. There are people that you have in your neighborhood who would say, good works, yes. And here are some. But are they the ones that are given to you by God? Are they the ones that are outlined in God's word? Are they motivated by a desire for God's glory? Spurgeon, in his sermon, he says, the kind of good works that look like that are actually rare. That's a profoundly divisive thing for some people to hear. They would not want to hear that. Those kind of good works are rare. Why is he saying that? Because they're motivated by the grace, desire for God's glory. Expressing faith. Christians do what is good in God's sight because they are related to God by his grace. And that's why there are certain things that are done, maintaining good works that are necessary, that are part of the ministry of the gospel, that are done so that people might not be unfruitful. It don't make any sense to the world. It don't make any sense to people of other denominations or religions that are done because they are part of the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like hosting someone who has been serving in a foreign land, hosting them and providing for them with great hospitality so that they might be encouraged and strengthened in their journey, so that they might have the opportunity to continue to proclaim the gospel. And then that connectedness of the Church of Jesus Christ, it's all on the basis of God's grace, isn't it? I mean, the Apostle Paul couldn't write this, all that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith, if it wasn't true that all people who have been saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ are worth recognizing for Jesus' sake. Because of Jesus Christ. Not because of the way in which you think that person is higher in some pecking order. We all need God's grace. We are all saved by God's grace. The Apostle Paul, Titus, Artemis, Tychicus, Zenas, Apollos, everyone, you and me, joined together because of God's grace. We have an opportunity this week. The next Lord's Day, the Greek people, because they confess the name of Jesus Christ, greet them and welcome them as those who are part of the sphere of God's grace, as those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And never put away your stuff and close up your mind at the end or beginning of a worship service before you drink in what the word grace means. It brings us down and lifts us up to heights that we would never know before. The grace of God. Grace be with you all. Amen.